Welcome, Mood Group friends, to another exciting episode of Packaging Perspectives from Mood Group, your global executive packaging partner. I'm very pleased to welcome today Anna Polina, the managing partner of Integrity Solutions, who can share with us all excitement and all her knowledge about packaging and packaging waste regulations, a hot topic at the moment. Welcome, Anna. Where in the world am I talking to you from today?
Hi, Emma. Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. And also, we've been partnering recently, our company. So happy to have that collaboration and support each other and support packaging industry. So yes, I'm based in Switzerland. So if you know, very close to Lausanne, that's the capital of Olympic Games. Huh? So
Yeah,
touristic destination.
Been to Switzerland. Definitely a place on the list.
Yes, but I need to save a bit before you come here. I mean, Swiss like to go for vacation outside because it's more affordable. So.
Okay. And a favorite restaurant. Is there a favorite place you like to go, Anna, in Switzerland?
Well, since we talk about tourists, so if you're ever on the business trip, I can suggest a place which is very close to the railway station that we have in Lausanne.
Okay.
So if that's actually a Chinese restaurant. Recently, my family is really into Asian food.
Yes.
And it's called Shek Su. I hope I say it correctly.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But as a family, we go there when it's like, it's not a fancy place, but it's when you really want to eat, like really hungry. The portions are big. You always have this doggy bag with you. So that's the place if you'd like to eat. I think it's not for like a business formal meeting, but if like for the cozy chat and
useful to know if you come in by train, because train is such a good sustainable way of travel, isn't it, these days?
Well, in Lausanne, to Lausanne you can get by train, so so.
Brilliant. I should definitely bear that in mind that next
if you like Chinese
I come to
food.
Switzerland.
Yeah.
So, Anna, you're very successful in your line of work. Can we rewind the clock a little bit back here and find out how your journey started and your interest in packaging?
Yes. So, actually, so life was always bringing me to packaging somehow. It wasn't, we can say it an accident, but I have zero regrets. So my professional career was quite straightforward. It was, so I spent a lot of years working in corporations. Basically, my first employer was a packaging manufacturer. So I think many people know it's a leading global manufacturer. It's called Amcor. And it was in my city where I was born and where I finished my studies. It was my first job. But I have to say that there was one job application which I did not get, but the second chance I had for some other role, I got it done.
Brilliant. Never give up.
Yeah. And I was lucky because there were two sites, and the second job I got, it was a new green field actually. And I think all the excitement and all the learning and development you have when you start something new from scratch, I had been that young, I had that nice experience to see how all that setup, system, processes, organization. So really grateful for that experience. So I was a production planner. So really going to the production lines, I don't know, so having setting order of productions, controlling materials, sequence, etc., doing optimal planning on the machine line to ensure it's effective and makes sense, and with all these urgencies that the clients have. So that was a nice role as a start. And afterwards, yes, it was so long time ago. It's very difficult to remember that.
Not that long.
Yeah. And basically afterwards, I joined the Philip Morris International. That's a tobacco company. So for me at that point, it was even like a step up in terms of my professional development. And basically the next, 15 or 17 years, I spent at Philip Morris going through different roles, growing my expertise as well.
Absolutely.
Always in operations, also linked to the strategy, long-term planning, sourcing, etc. And the second part of my career, I ended up in procurement of direct materials, which was also a bit of an accident. But zero regrets. I think that's, I don't know, I love procurement with all my heart.
Yeah.
I think it's a job where you can demonstrate your expertise, your skills, hard, soft skills. It's directly where you see the impact and where you can show the impact, I mean, make the impact for your company. So it's very tangible, the job you do. And eventually my roles in procurement took me to packaging. So I was responsible for global packaging procurement at Philip Morris. I think it was the best time of my career. All that responsibility, exciting projects. Mm-hmm. And I think it also made it really, I mean, everybody thinks procurement is about cost saving and just pressure. I mean, that's partially true. But I think there was this element that became very important last year, that about sustainability, and packaging is there on the front line of any product. Huh? So
absolutely,
it starts from packaging, the impression that consumers have about the product. So we had a lot of projects on sustainability for packaging, and it's exciting to be part of something when you're there to reduce waste, I don't know, to reduce environmental impact. It gives purpose to your everyday job.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was exciting in my corporate.
All those details, though, all those small, small, small details. At the start, I think, you know, if you change slightly like a ship, you know, the direction can really go a long way wrong or the correct way. So I think to get that right is key. And obviously you have huge experience in that and knowledge. So exciting for you to be part of that and then share that knowledge now in the situation you find yourself in with managing integrity solutions. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Anna?
Yeah, so at a certain point of my career, so I'm very grateful for the years I had Philip Morris, but at a certain point of our career, we all think, what are we here for? A bit like, is that all that I'm made for? Is there anything else I can do in life? Because as life goes by, we want to try things and to have no regrets eventually, right? That we try the things. And basically, I decided to change. So some people tell me, and it's brave. Some people tell me, I know it's stupid, because when you jump into uncertainty, well, it's always difficult in life. It's important that you have a support of your family and people, because it's a very big change, professional change. When you start something new, either you change your job, you go to another company, I don't know, you change the country, or you start your own business. So in my case, I decided that I give it a try, start something of my own. I was thinking that accumulated enough experience to try it. But honestly, you always feel, in packaging, evolution is so quick, you always feel like you have to catch up, and your expertise is never enough. You need to really be on track. Sure. So it was not easy, but I decided to go for that step. I was thinking, what do I do well? So this business perspective on packaging, where I was successful in my career, and I decided to merge this part and then the sustainability part, and really focus the activities of my small company on sustainable packaging. So eventually, not just defining it or telling companies what to do, but really telling them how they can make a step. So, because I think many companies want to transition, they want to, reduce the impact, and but there are also business priorities. You need to pay your salaries, you have your constraints, you have your, existing machine park. There are a lot of business implications for the change. So I was thinking that my role would be to help them unlock the situation or to help them overcome those obstacles they might have and really focus on the how they can actually make that step. So that's how I'm positioning myself. I'm not a packaging material expert, huh? But I know how to take the company from point A, from point B, thanks to my great experience that I had, corporate experience that I had. And so initially, that was about leadership in packaging sustainability. So you know that a lot of companies, corporations made their public commitments, quite aggressive ones, and challenging ones. So at certain point, it was more like voluntary leadership. And right. Now with the regulation that you mentioned, so we operate is in Europe and we have this PPWR, packaging and packaging waste regulation. So now it's not anymore voluntary, but it's going to be mandatory for all the players on the European market who place packaged goods on those markets. Huh? So it transformed the, we can say in one day, I mean, of course, the industry knew it's coming, but eventually now it's there, it's published, and it pretty much changes a lot for the packaging value chain in Europe.
4 months now, I think, right?
So February. It's been published. It's going to be in force mid of 2026. So really when there are a lot of targets and milestones up to 2040. So it's really long-term vision, direction, and project for the companies. So because a lot of those milestones and targets are not yet achievable for many packaging applications, so companies need to get ready to embed it in their everyday activities. So every packaging change we do today, every packaging strategy needs to really take into account the impact of PPWR if that packaging goes on the European market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant to hear. You know, is there or has there been, Anna, any mentor in your life, in your professional life, that sort of guided you or helped shape the career journey that you're on?
Yeah, it's a good question. Honestly, very often in life we miss somebody who can hold us through difficult times or a bit guide on the way. Yeah? And like in my current business, I wish I could have somebody. But during my career, I had some people who really made an impact on how I evolved and developed. Fabulous. And those two people. So it was not a formalized mentorship. I was actually... Though both were my supervisors at certain point of time and when I was in procurement, actually. And one taught me hard part of it. So how to make the deals, how to achieve the outcome, how to put that logic, how to anticipate risks of the deal. So it's really an art. Huh? And especially when you're in corporation and you have all that money that are impacted, and it's not only cost, it's also supply security, quality, I don't know, name it, all the needs. And so how do you engage your supply base to deliver the best in the interest of your company? So really hard skill. I learned a lot, a lot of situations. Creative approach. I felt really afterward equipped for anything. So, because in procurement every day something happens and it's like a problem solving job. And then on the other side, I had another mentor who was, I mean, also very skilled in procurement. But from that person, I learned the soft part. Is how to communicate, how to engage, how to maintain that relationship. I think it's. Yeah, it was very valuable to me. So I'm like, I was lucky, let's put it this way.
Those soft skills, though, that you mentioned are very valuable. And they are something that have to be thought about and crafted, I think, over time. So good for you, and lucky for you that you had these mentors, because I don't think everybody does, and I think they really help guide us to the future. Talking of the future, do you? I mean, you know, if I had a crystal ball, where would you see yourself, your business, in the future?
Well, first of all, I hope the future is bright.
So, no, always.
Yes. And actually, I started to feel more positive when I changed my path. It gave me new, I don't know, energy. Or motivation.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something, it's really, really something clicked as well. So
motivating.
Yeah, it's maybe when you have your own business, when you are your own decision maker for everything you do. I mean, there are pluses and minuses of that, of course, but it gives a new spin to you as a professional. So for me, in terms of my current business, as I mentioned, it is small, but I would really like to grow it. So I like that freelance type of model when you can pull experts on the project, so with the complementary expertise and skills, and then really to help companies facilitate. So it's like a one-off injection when it helps companies to facilitate and make another step. So that I keep in mind. So we'll see. At certain point of time, I already tried to start hiring people and been really linking to some professionals to see if they would be interested in this model. And I was really surprised that a lot of people who want to feel that, have that feeling of making an impact. And this topic of sustainable packaging really lightens them up. So I think it's feasible. It's just a matter of time. For me, it's also not easy to manage an organization. But overall, you know, some people, they're looking to the early retirement. Well, they really want to, I don't know, early retire at 40 or even at 30 sometimes, given they can accumulate their wealth, so that they can allow them. Me, I don't feel that. I actually would, I feel like I'd like to really prolong my professional life. And I think the fact that I went into, let's say, stepped out of being an employee, it gives this chance that you can, basically you don't have limits, maybe your health and your level of energy, but eventually you can go beyond that retirement age, official one that we have, and really continue doing something, because the expertise you accumulate by that moment in your life is
now's the time.
Huge. It's the time to share it and really make the difference. So I believe in the long professional life. So I think it's everybody's choice at this point of time. I would like to do that. I like to keep my, helping, solving. So it inspires me. And especially I think by that time when the kids are old enough, you need to have a new babies.
What better time to be doing it? I mean, it's almost like a packaging revolution, like an industrial revolution at the moment in our industry. It has a big impact on the world. Yeah. So I think fabulous for you.
We'll see.
How can players in the packaging value chain prepare for the evolving packaging regulations, Anna? I mean, you know, there are some key tips that we can leave our audience with today.
Yeah, well, that's my favorite topic, because I'm worried about everybody. I want everybody to succeed in this environment. I think the tips, so I can split them in two streams. So first is for suppliers in the packaging industry, and then maybe the brand owners and the producers of packaged goods. So if we talk about the packaging suppliers, as per the regulation, the party that needs to demonstrate compliance is actually the company at the end of the value chain. So it's the one that puts the brand on the packaging and puts it on the market. But nevertheless, so all the packaging value chain needs to share information, and eventually this is the packaging industry that needs to provide the solution for the brand consumer. Owners to comply, right?
So
I think, and everybody says this regulation is a challenge, which is very much true, but I think it's also a very big business opportunity. So those packaging suppliers who can solve the needs of the brand owners, who can clearly communicate the benefits and show compliance with the regulations first, will be the one who will gain the business. Huh? So I think it's a moment of truth. Huh? So it's a moment when you can step in, show your leadership, and say, here are my solutions, and this is why it's good. Because sometimes I find myself in this situation when I talk to the suppliers, it's very difficult to understand, does it comply or not? So it's usually like a quest you try to understand. So is it a solution for me? Especially now with a lot of innovations and a lot of innovative materials, it's very difficult to understand. If we take an example of bioplastics, is it compliant or not? So sometimes when you talk to the supplier, you cannot make this link for yourself unless you have expertise in the field. So I really recommend suppliers get the offering straight, review it versus the PPWR, and also start positioning it using that language.
Right. Yep.
So and that represents a business opportunity. And now we talk about down the value chain. So for those who actually have to comply, so those companies who put packaged goods on the market, and I think for those, I would give three suggestions. First one, don't wait. So for us, so for example, some milestones in UPPWR only at 2030. While it seems like it's still a long time, it's not. So changes in packaging really take time. Testing, qualifications, maybe then you need to pivot, then it becomes too expensive, then you cannot scale, I don't know. So it's really long journey to implement a packaging change. And here we're going to be implementing across the portfolio. So it's not just for some SKUs or packaging type. So I would say first tip, start now, at least assess what's the impact. Or maybe you have full compliance. It could also be the case. But in many cases, there are gaps. So start today to be on time to make your changes. The second tip I would give, you know, I, at least on my LinkedIn feed today, there are a lot of innovations. I think it's also done for that. Here is a new thing like this. Here is a new thing that. And I would say, don't jump into what you see. So innovations that you see, or if there is a trend, we say paperization is a trend. Of course, consumers like it, but it's not making sense for any application. So I would say, do your proper assessment. Go really from big range, understand what are your options, and then try to put logic to select what best fits your application, your industry, but as well your business goals, constraints, what consumer will accept. So really
get do your right. homework get properly. Get it right at the beginning.
Because also innovations today, it's true there are some nice things really like popping up, but many of them also not scalable. They might cost too high, but you also need to make sure that your business is sustainable.
Yeah, makes sense. Right? Very good advice. All good advice, Anna. Great.
Yeah, so I would suggest...
start today.
Start today and release your option. And then maybe the last one, because I said three, so just to complement. Because this regulations, as I mentioned, it sets targets up to 2040. It means it's not there just for next mid-term. It's a really long-term project. So, and it's going to be impacting a lot of activities that you, packaging-related activities that you do today. So I would say assess resources that you need for that. So very often I know that it's just put on those people who are there today, just on top. I think it's very difficult to manage, at least on the at the stage where you need to do your all assessment and understand the plan that you should have to ensure compliance. So think about your resources, allocate budget. So in many cases, it will require investment in resources. It can be cost up. It could be investment in infrastructure or equipment. So really take it seriously from that perspective because there is a this is a business risk, these regulations, because normally If your packaging doesn't comply with the regulations, you are not supposed to put it on the market. So do we want that?
No.
So it becomes one of the business priorities, really business priorities. So that's the tips I would give.
It's complicated, isn't it? But it's not impossible. With experts like yourself and others working this all out, in time, it should all work. There's no reason why it shouldn't. And it'd be better for the planet, better for everybody. And that's where we're all at the moment, trying to unpick it and trying to work it out. But I think your excellent advice, Anna, should help many in our audience, and also to find you and to work with you on their projects, you know.
Let me know if you
come with all that skill and all the procurement knowledge, as you say, that's a fantastic foundation. So lucky you, lucky us to be associated, and lucky our audience.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be part of this.
Is there anything else, Anna, you'd like to add about your career so far, or anything you would say to your younger self, or to some young college graduates, university graduates out there, you know, thinking maybe, should I think about packaging? Should I, you know, what, and any thoughts?
Yeah, but first of all, you should definitely think about packaging. So it's a fun world with a lot of opportunities and opportunity to make a change.
Yeah.
But I think also,
we agree, of course.
But I think the younger generation is really lucky now, because the way the society works is that we want our kids really to do what they like. So really to think. Well, at least I'm trying with my daughter. I'm trying to discover what does she like, what's her talents, and I tell her follow that. So if you think about your education, follow that. And she says, oh, if it, I define it for the whole life. I say, of course not. Now you can change it. It doesn't mean that you choose your career once. You can you cannot change it. You can completely change it. Don't be afraid. If you like something today, go for that. Later on, you like something else, you can pivot always. And I think that what I would give the advice to my younger self is that follow what you like. Because when you like what you do, you really become you become successful. You do better, you have energy, you motivate, you're happy to in the morning to go do your work. So I don't know, that's as simple as that. It sounds a bit philosophical, but I think that's how it works.
I totally agree. Let's get some younger generation into packaging. Now's the time.
Now I like to talk because I'm also do volunteering. So in Switzerland here we have a lot of startup accelerators, and I participate in one which is based not far away from me geographically. So and it's fabulous to see how people come with all those ideas, how brave they are to pursue them, crazy things, working without financial aid, but believing in something. So it's very pleasant to see that the progress is there, that there are innovators, and the new ideas are coming. Sometimes they're so impressive and curing some problems of this world.
One of the beauties of life, the next generations. Well, Anna, it's been lovely talking to you today. Thank you so much for your time. We wish you well. And perhaps let's catch up another time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Emma. It was a pleasure for me to talk about all these matters. I hope that could be also useful for someone. So, and I'm happy again to have that collaboration with the Mood Group. All the best to you too. What you do is also very important for the packaging industry.
Thanks, Anna. Thank you very much. Take good care.
Thank you very much, Emma. Bye-bye. Have a good day.